right, thank you, Kane. 808 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Phone line, text lines are open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Talk about a whole bunch of stuff this hour. I want to start off with three big things, top stories of the day on our website. And, I mean, this is another tragic story involving the killing of members of law enforcement. This is just a week after National Police Week, National Law Enforcement Week. A story from News Partners at WKRG. An Auburn police officer has died following a shooting late last night. Two other Auburn police officers were seriously injured, according to the Auburn police chief. The emergency blue alert has been issued after several Auburn officers were shot last night, according to a press release from ALEA, Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. The officers were responding to a domestic call at Arrowhead Trailer Park in Auburn. When they arrived, the suspect here, Wilkes, allegedly opened fire against the officers, hitting several of them. Wilkes is a white man, weighs about 215 and is 6'4". Last seen wearing camo clothing, had body armor on, and a helmet, I think, is reported. Investigators say they believe Wilkes is a serious risk to the public. I'll have to say, from what I've read, I agree with them. Investigators say if you see him, call the Auburn Police Department, and there's that number, or call 911. Let's just say that, call 911. As we're getting just a few pressers out of Auburn right now. And this, I mean, who knows where this guy could be, how far out. They said the manhunt is based there in Auburn, but I don't know if they've cordoned it down to a certain area or if it could be a bigger, I mean, guy could be anywhere.
And, you know, and this is just coming in, it looks like, and I'm going to need to make sure that this is true, but from the Auburn Campus Safety Twitter account, at Auburn Safety, they're saying all clear, police report the suspect in the off-campus shooting is in custody. So that's one source that says this man's been taken into custody. I'm going to try to find some more.
We just have one source on, so let's get, yeah.
That's correct. But this is coming from the Auburn Safety Twitter account, at Auburn Safety. The Auburn Campus Safety is what they call themselves, and they do say it's all clear and the suspect is in custody, but I'm going to double check. We need more than just the one account to say that.
All right. Also, second story up on three big things. President Trump warns Iran not to threaten the United States or it'll face an end. Of course, this is further saber rattling and what's been going on for 2 weeks. And I told you how much this worries me between Iran and Saudi Arabia. You have the making of a proxy war here with Saudi Arabia and then Houthi rebels in the region with Yemen. It's something the president responded to this weekend. He warned Iran early this morning not to threaten the United States or it'll face its official end. That's in quotes. Shortly after a rocket landed near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad overnight. Now, it hit in the green zone. Now, the green zone, I have friends that when they went back and were deployed a second time in Iraq, they said, yeah, we got a little better gig. I'm in the green zone, but it's not perfect. So the green zone's the most secure area. Now, that's all relative, right? But the most secure area there in Baghdad. The rocket landed near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad overnight. Iran's foreign minister quickly responded in kind on Twitter. I guess it's a good thing because we see what would have gone in private communiques in the past now are on social media. But so the president tweeted what he did. Then Iran's foreign minister tweeted his own message, hashtag never threaten an Iranian.
Wow.
Okay. President Trump's tweet comes after he seemingly sought to soften his tone on Iran following days of heightened tension sparked by the administration's deployment of bombers and aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf over still unspecified threats. But, you know, I would argue to this story here from the AP, the unspecified threats have kind of filled in the blank with the two Saudi oil tankers and then the pipeline attacked by an armed drone.
Right, and the president, he seems to be taking kind of the same stance that he did with North Korea a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago, and some of these other countries that we're not exactly on friendly terms with, and that's by kind of playing both sides a little bit, because yesterday morning he was tweeting, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran, never threaten the United States again. But last night on Fox News, he said, I'm not somebody that wants to go into war, because war hurts economies, war kills people, and most importantly, by far most importantly, as far as war killing people, he said, I don't want to fight, but you do have situations like Iran, you can't let them have nuclear weapons, you just can't let that happen.
Yeah, and this goes back to, because I could play devil's advocate for a second and say, if you believe that the deal that was brokered by former President Obama, which, you know, but my part of it was the huge amounts of American dollars, which mm-hmm. were, the argument was it was Iranian money that was locked down in banks since the late 70s that was returned, but the pallet's full of cash that went into the Iranians. But if you believe that deal was going to stick, that was one method to keep them from having nukes. But if you don't trust that deal, then what do you do? Without, I mean, I think the appetite, I'm sure there's some people out there that see war as an answer to everything. But I think if you polled the American public right now, unless it was a clear and present danger to the United States, the idea of some full engagement with Iran is something that, and maybe and this is anecdotal, I don't have a poll in front of me, I'm just guessing, that the appetite to go to war, a full fledged war with Iran is very low.
Yeah, especially low. I think, you know, if we didn't have soldiers in the Middle East already for the last few decades, that maybe we'd be more likely to send troops in there. But it does seem like the American people are kind of worn out from sending our soldiers overseas.
And that's, I mean, that's somewhere where I don't see an easy outcome for the United States. I think the appetite for that's going to be, I'm sure there are some people that, but I think they're not the majority of people.
But, you know, looking at it from Iran's point of view, I mean, the penalties that the U.S. and the allies of the U.S. have put on Iran, the economic penalties that have really, it sounds like, demolished their dollar, and they're not they've got people that are starving. It seems like what the penalties are supposed to do, they're doing, but where does that put Iran? Are they are they forced to lash out? I mean, they obviously have other options, and the president is hoping that the Iran people turn on their leadership. But before
they did that during the Green Revolution, and what happened to them? Right.
Yeah.
They didn't have, we didn't step up. That would have been the time if we wanted to see some sort of regime change without risking American lives. That would have been the time to if you wanted to nudge something a certain way, that would have been the time. That did not happen. So Iran, don't fool yourself that it's like a, you know, small third world those that fail to, you know, those that underestimate the Persians will have trouble. And I don't know where this goes, but it's tensions obviously are increasing in the region.
Yeah, an update on that shooting from Auburn. Aaliyah now canceling the blue alert. They were looking for that Grady Wayne Wilkes, and many publications are now reporting that he is in custody.
That's great news.
Does say they've arrested the suspect who shot, I think, three officers total and killed one officer, but now the suspect is in custody, and they've canceled the alerts around the campus.
All right, that's great news. We'll get more on that as it comes into our studios, pass along. And the third story on Three Big Things this morning, Mobile fisherman warns of bacteria in the waters. You can read through the story from WKRG about Sonny Kirkwood and his infection that he says he contracted being in brackish water. And that's one of the things that I think is when we talk about, they don't say Vibrio here, but Vibrio or other issues, they seem to be the issue of the brackish water. In other words, if you're in hypersaline waters, if you're out in the Gulf, you don't seem to have the issue with it. And if you're in freshwater, you don't. It's the mixing that's in the bay, mixing in places like Mississippi Sound of fresh and salt water that is a growing, a nursery for these diseases. But I would wonder too, if we look at this long term, how much of this has to do with water quality overall? They tell you this: if you have any kind of compromised immune system, you need to be hyper vigilant. Having any kind of open wound and getting in the water when it's brackish, those issues. I mean, every year we have these stories, and I think in every case, maybe there's an exception, but every case somebody has a immune system that's compromised somehow that gets these. But, you know, you could be in a situation where you might not even know you have a compromised immune system and get involved with that brackish water. So just be vigilant on that, and we'll keep our eyes on these stories. Hopefully there won't be a bunch of them this summer like there was last in the year before. 817 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back. We'll grab some calls at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I don't know if it happens in like every house. I remember summertime though, at the house when I was growing up. My parents, before you went to, you started your job, whatever, you had to have that laid out before. What was your summer job, right? And you had that laid out, and that was planned. But usually you'd say, hey, can I have a week or so to, like, do summer stuff before I go to work?
Yeah.
You know, and my parents were cool. They said, well, if your employer says yes, then. So I would get that week. You know what would happen? It would be, honest to goodness, and this is good use of a teenage boy. It was furniture rearranging time, mm-hmm. the mother did. And I started thinking, if that goes on in houses around, before you even start the major summertime, like rearranging the living room or the kids' bedrooms or whatever, you need to get rid of the junk, right? The stuff you're not using in the house, stuff that's accumulated, stuff that's in the way. And you can do that pretty quickly. You can call my buddy Trey. He and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They do commercial properties, residential properties, storage units. I mean, anywhere you got junk, they show up. They get it gone, right? They quote you a price. If you say, yeah, they get to work. So before you start a major, like, rearranging project in the house for summertime, if you've got some of that built-in family labor, just like mom and dad did with me, get the junk out of their way first by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And you can have junk outside the house. I mean, people think, okay, junk, it's in boxes, it's in drawers. They come get above-ground pools. They get swing sets, storage, like outside storage sheds where you put, it doesn't matter. They can handle it. That's why you see that truck coming through your neighborhood a whole bunch. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment and see what I'm talking about. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, 825, we'll grab some text and phone calls at 343-0106. And just an update you on the story that Dalton did before we went to the news break. The suspect in the shooting of those Auburn police officers has been captured, thank goodness.
Yeah, so three officers shot last night in Auburn. One of those police officers died following the shooting. It happened late last night. Two other officers seriously injured, and they did capture that suspect. Grady Wilkes captured him at the intersection of Beehive Road and Wire Road there in Auburn, but he has been captured in the last 30 minutes. Overnight, they sent out that blue alert, which is if you see this suspect, you're supposed to call 911. That's what the blue alert is for. And apparently, this guy, Grady Wayne Wilkes, officers arrived there at the Arrowhead Trailer Park in Auburn. They were responding to a domestic call, and allegedly, he was wearing full camouflage, body armor, and a helmet when he opened fire on these officers. But the suspect now in custody, said they arrested him at Beehive Road and Wire Road in Auburn.
All right. Also, too, you know, we're mentioning the saber rattling between Iran and the United States and the possibility of this proxy war there around the Persian Gulf. And I've said, I think the American appetite is low for this. President Trump can push back against the Iranians. But how hard do they push back is the question. I mean, the Iranians have a lot to lose here, too. I mean, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a point there where President Trump can maybe saber rattle to help negotiations on something. But then what if the bluff is called? Does he have issues here if he doesn't do something back after that missile came into the green zone near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad? What, you know, in the realpolitik game of this, how much does he have to do to equal and then, you know, be at a new neutral on this thing? But you got the Saudis there, and the Saudis hate the Iranians. Iranians hate the Saudis. It's a Sunni-Shia thing. So they're already having their issue. And then the Saudis, as I tell you every time, I have to hold my nose when I say it, but it is accurate. They are our allies
right
in the region, and they're important for a bunch of different reasons. I'm, you know, once again, hold my nose when I say that. So what do we do there? And also, I would look at the text line, and Paul says on the text line that Trump would lose the election as well if, you know, we were engaged there. And I think what Paul was saying there is important, because remember President Trump on the campaign trail, there's so many parts of this that people forget certain parts and they think it's all southern border, but he was had a pretty strong message about bringing troops home, about not having the United States doing it. You know, you think about with the NATO, and NATO should pay their share, but he also was saying that we need to get out of all these different foreign entanglements. So if he gets us out of one and gets troops out, and some people will argue that the removal from Syria idea was hasty or whatever, and then goes and puts troops in another front, in Iran. I mean, what will the American public say in 2020?
Yeah, that was certainly a major part of his campaign, was bringing troops home from the Middle East. And, you know, a lot of people worried with John Bolton in the position that he's in the government and his, his hawkish tendencies. Well, there was a report, I think, from Axios late last week that Bolton might actually be on the outs with this administration, that Trump has kind of had it with his hawkishness.
If that comes true, mm-hmm. if that's not just from an unnamed source, if we ever get validity on that, then I'm gonna throw a flag on that. Because if in the process of vetting John Bolton, you didn't realize he's the neocon's neocon, he is the biggest hawk ever, he's never seen a foreign entanglement, he doesn't want to put U.S. troops in, give me a break.
Well, at least what Trump has said and what it seems like Trump is trying to sell, and it might very well be true, but he said, yeah, Bolton is a hawk, and I actually have to temper him sometimes. Trump, you know, kind of laughing that he's normally the one that has to be tempered by his staff. But he said, you know, I actually temper John Bolton sometimes. And the president kind of trying to allay some fears of a lot of Americans and saying, you know, we actually have a lot of doves that I'm talking to also here in the United States government, that he said, I don't necessarily want war with Iran, but it is an option if they keep pushing buttons the way that they are.
You know, there is something between dove and hawk that doesn't get talked about. I think there's a lot of people there. I mean, but you're talking about tempering. Genghis Khan would temper John yeah. Bolton. All right, let's go to the phones and another Paul. Paul in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hey. Yeah, I'm not that Paul. I think a couple of weeks ago, out of the blue, you came up with a poll. And even though I've been telling you to kind of, you know, average poll, you seem to find this for Rasmussen, who is the only poll since March of last year that's ever given Donald Trump a positive overall approval rating.
That's why I reported on it, because it
was... because it was... No, well, this is the one that does regularly, which is Rasmussen. And they were, you know, it was a high, maybe a plus four?
Yeah.
All right. Well, today, it's negative eight. It's a disapproval of plus eight.
Yeah, he swung even in the Gallup poll. He swung from a 46% approval overall in April to a 42% in last week's rating. The numbers didn't change much among Republicans, but independents, he lost some, and the 9% of Democrats that approve of his job performance, that came down from, I think, 10%.
Yep.
Yeah.
So is this kind of updates we're going to get regularly?
I don't know, if as long as you call in. I mean, this, you know, here, Paul, you get me with this idea that I'm trying to, like, hide information.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
There's the report of plus four versus plus eight is significant in the other way.
It is significant. And did you just get straight through? Did I take you first? Yep. Okay.
Also, a GOP congressman, Justin Amash,
yes.
becomes the first
to call for impeachment.
Call for impeachment.
Yeah, we can talk about that and talk about some of the things the president tweeted about him. No big surprise. All right, go to the news. I'm coming right back. Grab your calls, 343-0106.
837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. So coming up here on the end of May, but that doesn't mean that they're aren't some great deals at McConnell Automotive. What kind of deals are we looking at as we head towards June?
Yeah, well, you know, Dalton, I'll tell you what, we've got some really, really exciting deals. And the main reason, Dalton, is because they're limited supply. And I think everybody's seen the new AT4 truck. I know you love it. It's that bad boy version of the Z71, of the new body style with that six-function tailgate. And we've got some deals, Dalton, that we haven't seen on the new 19 truck since it came out. And one example is over $12,000 off. And, you know, you're seeing other dealerships do $6,000 or $7,000. So we've got a couple of demonstrators, brand new cars with a few thousand miles. And all people got to do is go check that deal out, Dalton, on our website, which is McConnellAutomotive.com. And man, we got things happening on the Yukons, the Acadias, really anything that somebody's looking for. And we even don't have some 0% financing, which doesn't come around much these days anymore. And so that's something to check out. And everybody, just, you know, this Memorial Day sale is going to be one of the best we've ever had. And any kind of new Buick or GMC, this is a perfect time to shop.
All right. Well said. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
All right, Dalton. Thank you, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Make sure you go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. I'll get to the phones in just a second. Do want to read a couple of these texts. A couple of them about what we're talking about, but a couple from last hour, I just did not get a chance. When I knew it would start some issue here, when I expressed that today National Rescue Dog Day.
Yes,
and I said
is.
At the beginning of this, we have three dogs in the house. I love dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I guess you have to clear yourself before you say anything. But I just suggested, and working off what a comic had said in the past, pretty funny stuff, that you're not actually rescue. It's a nice term, a great way to market and sell it. But unless you like do something like get them from a well, like you said, a reverse Lassie, or do some kind of amazing rescue, they're a dog you got for free or for cheap.
Right. Yeah.
And they're a good thing, and they're a loving part of your family. But that whole like rescue dog, like you did, like you're like some SEAL team that's sneaking in under the concertina wire and sneaking in and with a TAC team, and you're going to get the dog. No, you went and got a dog from the shelter,
right.
Which is a good thing, but the terminology like rescue dog, you expect to hear dun 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 in the background.
Yeah, let's be honest. A lot of people out there are looking for new pets,
mm-hmm.
and might not want to put the money towards a purebred dog or a dog that you, I don't know, go next door and see how much you could pay your neighbor to give you their dog. But it's a discount rack dog.
There
That's
you
what
go.
Some of these rescue
it's
dogs
a nice
are.
Price dog.
And you're doing something nice in the meantime. I mean, you're
yes.
technically saving them from a life in the pound.
And that's what somebody said, or you know, if they're going to be put down,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be killed.
Well,
then you do rescue them.
That's
away
a rescue.
From being, so,
but the dog that I rescued, I went to this place in Baldwin County
mm-hmm.
that
Baldwin Humane Society.
The Baldwin right? Humane Society. Thank you. And they had this dog out at 99 bottles
yes.
of beer on the lawn, and I saw the dog, and I was like, hey, I'm looking for a new dog. Maybe that one could be my dog. And I go, she wasn't going to be killed. She was just going to live her life out at this nursery. It's mm-hmm. not really a pound. They put people up there. But I ended up rescuing my dog, I guess, so
yes.
I get all the props from that. But basically, I got a dog on the discount rack. I love her.
Yes.
She was just cheaper than your average dog.
I think that'd be come get a deal. Everybody loves a deal. Get a deal on these dogs. Because I want to read two quick texts, and then we'll go to the phones. Dan says on the text line, so I have to tell my rescue story. Because these next two, I think, account for rescues. I was pulling a boat down I-10 going to Pensacola about 70 miles an hour. My wife goes, oh, no, and I know what that means. So it takes me about a half mile to stop the boat. And the truck, he pulls over. He said, I hiked back to find this dog laying in a ditch with her rear leg completely sticking out
no.
of the side.
Mm.
Apparently, she jumped out of a pickup when she was 6 months old. We took her, and then gets me, somebody just left her. We took her, had surgery on the leg, took her 4 days before she'd even eat. She was so near death. All she would do is drink water. Then we took her to the vet. They did the fluids and food and threw the IVs. Turned out she was a blue heeler. Those are cool dogs. Blue heelers are cool. She's a blue heeler and lived to be 16 years old, one of the best dogs I've ever had.
What a great story.
That's good stuff. And our friend Supermom shows his picture of her dog here, Sweetness, who was going to be used as a bait dog for dog fighting.
Oh, wow.
And she got her, so that's a rescue dog, too. Those listen, there's some great stories here of rescue dogs, and some very funny pictures of those dogs, too. But I just, like, I want to encourage people this day, if your situation's right, to add a dog to the family. I'm a big fan of dogs. I love the dogs. But I was just wanted to point out that, you know, we somehow... Like, rescue dog is when you go get them from uh-huh. the side of the road, do all this stuff, or you rescue them from a dog-fighting ring. When I go down with the family and get one from the shelter, it's a good it's a good thing, but maybe I don't have the same...
And, you know, a lot of men out there, myself included, who would consider themselves rescue dogs. They ended up getting married, and you could turn to the wife today and say, hey, on this National Rescue Dog Day, thank you for marrying me. And on the other hand, wives, you can go to your husbands today and say, you know, today's National Rescue Dog Day. You would not be here if I didn't go ahead and marry you. So lots of women out there rescued dogs in the past.
That's pretty good. Did you get all your shots?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm completely vaccinated.
Very good. All right, go to the phones. And David in Mobile is first up. Hey, David.
Alton, that reminds me of a Lee Bryce country music song about him telling his wife how he wouldn't be the same person he was if he wasn't married.
Right. Yeah, that's a good song, too.
Yeah, but real quickly, I want to give my thoughts on the events of the last week with the abortion ban bill. First of all, I'm as pro-life as they come, but I'm also more anti-government control of personal liberty. My biggest three objections to this bill is, number one, Sean, you like to say Alabama's perennially looking in the coat pockets for the extra $20 bill
yep.
to make the bills at the end of the year. we don't have the money to spend millions of dollars defending this law and paying the legal fees of the other side when we lose this lose the court challenge that this bill was designed to create.
Okay, so, let me counter that for a second and say, okay. Number one, I would expect that there would be other people come in to help the state with this, if that is legal. I'm going to check that out, if they could come in and help the state. Number two, if you took that poll in Alabama voters, I think you might be surprised what they think there's money for. And I agree, if you're looking at it just from a fiscal ledger sheet, is this the job of the state? But Alabama is not a fiscal conservative state. Alabama is a social conservative state. I would say there are way more people that vote Republican because of social issues than fiscal issues. And I mean, it's been proven actually with the kind of candidates that show up and get elected. So I would argue that maybe at least for sure under Republican ranks, you would have people say, well, that's a good use. If it costs the state millions, that's fine. In this case, we say it's fine.
Which leads me to my second objection to this bill, which is I don't trust the track record this state has when it comes to politicians using and abusing laws to further their political career.
We haven't won one, have we? Have we won one? Have we won any of the federal challenges? No. Okay.
I'm going all the way back to the segregation era. They use and abuse laws to further their own political career, regardless if they win in the federal courts or not. The first politician or the first district attorney that wants to come along and out Roy Moore, could theoretically use this law to go after OBGYN to say, see, I'm cracking down on abortion. I'm fighting for Alabama values. Elect me. And so I don't trust our track history with political demagogues. And then my third objection to this law is I don't like the way of going about trying to achieve the goal of ending abortion. I think there's a much more compassionate way of doing it and a much more smarter way of doing it, and that is abstinence plus sex education with affordable access to contraceptive care, including emergency contraceptive care. And of course, yes, I'm talking about the morning after pill.
What about?
I inherently think women are smarter than men, except for the fact that they desire to spend their lives with us, Sean.
Okay. All right, David. It's a cry for help. What about putting everybody on Provera? What about that? And then you have to, in this big government time, people like this idea of socialism and big government control. What about as soon as people reach the age, they go on that Provera stuff, and then you have to petition to the government to come off of it to reproduce yourself?
Oof.
What? What? You wouldn't be on for that?
That's grim.
By the way, that means another white knuckle, sweaty brow, steering the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit onto the USS Alabama coming up on Wednesday.
It's like a show before the show.
It
watching
is,
you get up there.
It is tight tolerances to get the van up onto the battleship, but it is really cool when we get it there on the fantail. This will be the second time we've done that with the vehicle, and it's what a place to do a radio show from, sitting there on the fantail of the Alabama. Good stuff. So we'll talk more about that, but that's coming up on Wednesday's Midday Mobile. We'll be out and in the sun. Come see us on the battleship. All right, and also a couple texts here, and we'll go to the phone. And Benjamin and I were back and forth on the text line. He said the whole point of the law, Alabama's abortion law, is to force Supreme Court to define at what point a fetus is a person, right? We call that the personhood bill. I'm not sure what people aren't understanding about this. And I pointed out how many times I've talked about this on the radio. That is, I mean, the bill was written, Terry Collins, who wrote the bill, was part of, it's her bill. I think she wrote it. But there are some cut-and-paste legislation sites out there. But she makes this bill with removing the exceptions for rape and incest on the abortion law, which I think is number one. Actually, if you're going to argue full speed that personhood starts at some period here, you know, it's 2 weeks, it's 4 weeks, it's 12 weeks, whatever it is, that the person argues, in this case it's a lot shorter, then you have to argue that there aren't exceptions except if you have to choose between the life of the mother or the baby. Right? I mean, they can't, if you're defining personhood, you can't say that, but then they're all people, but in these two cases, they're not people.
Right.
Okay. So it's actually, if you're going to argue it before the Supreme Court, it's in that context, it's a logical argument. It's hard to say. Nobody wants to say that. I'll say it. It's a logical argument. You can disagree with the whole thing, but in specific, if you're trying to change Roe versus Wade because you're trying to define personhood, then it's logical to not have exceptions for rape and incest. I know that's President Trump doesn't like that. Other people, I understand what they're saying. That's the way it's been for a long time. But if you're making a logical argument, and number two, sure, it is trying to be so strict that the Alabama law will get the first challenge and make its way to the Supreme Court. One problem, I understand other states want to have their method to get there. I'm scared that there's some competition to make a bill to be the one that gets in front of the Supreme Court. But, you know, that's politicians out there.
You know, we've seen it again this last week, as we've seen so many times in the past, where the national media and a lot of liberals and a lot of conservatives, but mainly, you know, liberals in the national media who say, why don't women have more of a voice? Why don't why can't we put a woman in office? And in this case, you have the governor of Alabama, who's a woman. And then you have this bill who was brought forth by a woman, right? That's the anti-abortion.
Terry Collins, yes.
And Alabama has just been completely, you know, blistered by the national media for passing this, when it's pretty clear. I mean, we've been saying it for weeks now that they are putting this up to hopefully be challenged in the Supreme Court and possibly overturn Roe versus Wade. And it makes perfect sense that they would want to put this up there with as little exceptions as possible, so that the Supreme Court has, all right, we have Roe versus Wade, and then we have this. Let's find where abortion should actually stand in the United States. I mean, it makes sense, but to see the national media go out and absolutely blister Governor Kay Ivey when they've been calling for more women's voices in government, it's hypocritical.
Well, remember I said last week on social media, they said Kay Ivey wasn't a woman because of first signing of the law.
Come on.
She lost her womanhood. Let's go to Wayne in beautiful Seminole, Alabama. Next. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, good morning. I'd like to enter this debate. First of all, it's not about the Supreme Court. It's about the Constitution of the United States. Our biggest problem is, and it's always going to be a problem until we get back to the limited federal government, federal powers that the federal government has, and states' rights. If Alabama wants to not have abortion in Alabama, then that's the way it should be. If Georgia wants to have abortion, that's the way it should be. The people in Alabama that want an abortion can go to Georgia, and vice versa. That's the way the Constitution was set up. But until you get back to that document and understand it, they say you can't legislate morality. But every law, by its very nature, legislates somebody's morality. For example, if those people who want abortion, they want to legislate their morality by saying you can't have an abortion. So we've got to get back to limited government, federal government, get back to states' rights, and it will settle itself. But until that happens, you've got nine semi-socialists, liberal socialists and conservative socialists on the Supreme Court, and they're always going to rule socialistically. So that's my story, and unfortunately, it's going to take a long time, but let's get back to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Let's go back to the track record. Each time Alabama's challenged that, what's happened? You know, I mean, even in the case of Alabama wanting to enforce federal immigration laws, wanting to say, hey, we'll enforce the things that are already law with federal government. Mm-mm, lost that one, too. The idea there, you can live in a, and Wayne, like so many other people, I say the same thing, too. In spirit, I'm with you. I guess the realities of doing this full time for over 10 years, which, by the way, FM Talk 106.5 for 10 in her 10th year now, has calloused me some to that, and at least made me realize you need to take your victories in smaller pieces. You need to, you know, kind of win individual battles to win a war, where instead of throwing the Hail Mary every time, because I've seen it before, and maybe as a younger, more idealistic person, I would have said rah rah rah. But I've seen what happens there. The winds and the changes that have happened to bring conservatism in have come in smaller battles. They've come, if you look at liberal gains, they've come through big Supreme Court rulings, right? But there are more sweeping changes. The Republicans have won some. Conservatives have won some. But day in and day out, the way the battle has been won by Republicans have been in, the battles have been won before the war. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and if that's cynical or that's pragmatic, I don't know. It depends on who I'm talking to, I guess, as they would define that. So we'll pick up the conversation again, believe me, because it's not going away anytime soon. This process will go forward from whichever law gets challenged and ends up making its way in front of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if this will be the talk of the nation this week again, like it was last week.
Like, it was like the only story out of Alabama.
Alabama and abortion, or if people will, you know, continue to talk about the Game of Thrones finale from last night, maybe our possible war with Iran, all kinds of ways that this week could go.
So, by the way, we didn't mention, some on social media, but didn't mention Game of Thrones finale last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was going, nah.
Same here.
Man, I'm not, like, there's people that are enraged by it. Lord knows, they must have nothing else going on in their life. I'm not enraged. I was just underwhelmed by it.
Disappointed?
Yes.
Is that a good word?
Yeah, I guess disappointed, but not disappointed enough that, like, it's going to affect me today. It's just like, it wasn't, you know.
They say $3.3 billion in lost productivity around America.
Yeah,
today
there's, like, some, like, there's, like, millions of Americans aren't going to work today because they watched the finale last night. Oh, shut up. Really? Because you watched an hour and a half of TV and you couldn't make it to... Wow, don't bring your resume by here, please. All right, Mike Gallagher next.